look forward to us adding that into our repertoire of worship songs in the very near future. I'm a child of God. I am not who somebody else says I am, not who the world says I am, but I am who God says I am. He is for me. He is for you. He's not against you. We are children of the living God. Wow. That's hard to wrap your head around. Think that we are the children of God. I want to ask you to turn your attention once again this morning to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the book of Colossians, the first chapter, focusing on the first 14 verses. We began by looking at the first couple last week. We're going to look at a few more this Sunday morning, and then we'll finish up this portion of Scripture next Sunday. There's just too much in here for 1 week or even two. When I was a U.S. Army chaplain, I did a lot of counseling. It was a major part of my ministry. I counseled with soldiers, with family members. But I made it part of my endeavors, whenever I counseled with anyone, no matter who they were, I always ended the counseling session by asking their permission to pray with them. And of the hundreds, maybe thousands of times that I counseled with soldiers and family members, even though most of them, the vast majority of them, were not Christians, they were not believers, some of them probably had never been in a church before, never talked to a minister before, but never once was I refused. Nobody ever said, "No, chaplain, I don't want you to pray for me." Maybe they were a little nervous, maybe they were a little uncomfortable about that, but I did it anyhow. Because I knew that perhaps most of them or many of them never prayed or certainly didn't pray very often. And I thought, you know, not only do I get the opportunity to pray with and for them, but for the few moments that I'm praying with them, they're thinking about God. And who knows what seeds can be planted in this prayer that God can grow something in their life. You know, it's wonderful. It's a great thing to be able to pray for somebody. To have somebody who cares enough to pray for you. That we can pray for and we can intercede for each other. That we have the opportunity to lift one another up before God. That God has given His people, us, the church, the ability to pray for one another, the privilege of prayer, but He's also given His people pastors who love them and care for the people, pastors who pray for you. And you know, you can pray for me. You can pray for your pastor. And I want to tell you that I earnestly seek your prayers and I desperately need your prayers for me. I can't do this without your prayers and without the help of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can pray. I hope that you pray for me. I really truly do. In these first 14 verses that we're considering in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, it's about a pastor and his people and prayer. That God loves and He cares for you. You know, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon in the next 2.5 hours that I'm going to be preaching, you think I'm kidding. I want you to remember and hold on to this, that God loves and cares about you. And so do I. God cares about your growth. And you're becoming like Jesus and being all that He created you to be. You are the church, God's people, the body of Christ. And to each church, God has given a pastor, a spiritual leader, the shepherd, if you will, of God's flock, to feed and to care for and to protect, to guide and to guard, to hear from God and to give direction and to pray for you. And in verse 1, where Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, Paul, the pastor, addresses his people. And Paul is thankful for the people, and he wants to bless and encourage them, and he's concerned about them and wants them to follow Jesus and have more of God in their lives. We can always have more of God in our lives, no matter how much of Jesus we have or how long we've been serving and following Him. He has more for us, and I want all that He has. How about you? And as your pastor, I want the same for you because I care about you and I'm concerned about your spiritual well-being and your work with God. And I want you to be all that God wants you to be and experience all that He has for you. I'm thankful for you. And I want God's very best for you. And so as Paul did, I too pray for you. And so this message is called A Pastor's Prayer. And this is part 2. And speaking of prayer, Lord, we do come before You and we thank You for Your presence among us today. Lord, now as we look into Your Word, we ask that You would give us ears to hear, spirits to receive all that You have for us, because You always have more. You always want to take us the next step, a little bit further, a little bit closer to Jesus. Lord, I want all that You have for me and all that You have for Gateway. So speak to our hearts right now through Your Word, through the preaching of Your Word. Lord, one more time, I ask for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to help me to preach Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, these opening verses of Paul's letter to the Colossians represent not only the prayer of a pastor for his people, but maybe even more importantly, the heart that he has for them. They're words that inspire us and challenge us to strive to be all that God wants us to be. So, this prayer is my prayer for you at Gateway. I wanted these words to also express my heart for you, to be His people. So let's look at what's in this pastor's prayer. Last week we talked about the first thing, and very quickly, we said that the first thing that I see here is Paul's desire. His desire for in his heart for His people, as the pastor of this church in Colossae. Verse 2, he said, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He addresses them as brothers. The church is a family. We are God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should always treat each other as family. He calls them holy. God desires holiness in us, in His people, to live holy lives before Him, holy lives in this world. That holiness is not just something that we do or rules and regulations that we follow. No, it comes from our heart. It's something we give to God. We give Him holiness because we love Him. We want to serve Him. We want to please Him and glorify and honor Him with our lives. Holiness is not seeing how close to the world we can get and still be a Christian. It's seeing how close to Jesus we can stay. He calls them faithful. God desires faithfulness in us. We're to be faithful people. People who are all in. fully committed to the cause of Christ, to the church, fully committed to one another, that we do what we say, we follow through, we carry out what we've started. And remember I said last week that I want to be a fat Christian? Remember when I said that? How many want to be a fat Christian? If you remember what fat means, I'm not talking about overweight. Although I want to be a heavyweight for Jesus. How's that? F-A-T, faithful, available, anybody remember? Teachable, fat, faithful, available, and teachable. Are you being faithful? Can people count on you? Can the church count on you? Can God count on you? Then he desires for them grace, God's goodness. How many know God is good? His favor, his blessing on your life. I say it this way, everything from God I do not deserve. Everything from God I have not earned. Everything from God I shouldn't have. The fact is, I don't deserve anything from God. But he gives me everything. That's grace. And because he gives us grace, we should always give others grace. Because I need grace, I should also give grace. And so should you. I hope that you are a grace giver. A grace giver. You remember I said there's a good principle to follow. I called it AGG. How many remember that? AGG. What does it stand for? Real loud, Mark. Always give grace. Always give grace. And then Paul desires for them peace, which is another of God's great blessings to us. It's something special that comes from God. It can be hard to explain, even beyond understanding. The peace that can be there even when it shouldn't be. This morning in the Weather Channel, some of their reporters were on scene in Florida in the middle of the destruction for Hurricane Michael. And I was really surprised by this. But they actually interviewed live a pastor. And they were asking him the different things that churches were doing to help the people. And the reporter for the Weather Channel actually asked the pastor, "Do you have a message that you would like to share?" I thought, wow, they just threw the door wide open for him. He did a pretty good job too. And he said that the message is that in the midst of this storm and all the destruction, that God is love. And that we're here to share the love of God with everybody, no matter who they are. In the midst of the suffering, we're here to share God's love. And then he said, you know, as awful as all of this destruction is, he said, there's a peace in the midst of this storm. He said, we have a message of peace. And he said, I've talked to so many people in the last few days, Christian, non-Christian alike, and he said, God is giving a peace that we can't explain. That peace from God is something that the world cannot give. It's something that we receive from God and also something we should give to others. Always seeking to be at peace and living in peace with others. But let's go a little bit further. Let's go down to verse 3. Paul continues, and he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Three times in these verses, Paul refers to praying for his people. And in this third verse, when he begins to refer to this prayer that he has, the first thing he says that we thank God. Paul is thankful to God. You know, the Lord convicted me the other day as I was continuing to prepare for this message. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, you ask for a lot of things, you pray about a lot of things, you pray about a lot of people and the church and everything else, and you praise me, but you don't thank me enough. Ouch. Ouch. Chastised, Lord, yes, guilty as charged. So the Lord said to me, every time you pray, the very first words out of your mouth should be thanks. Should be thanks. I think Paul was reflecting on just how much he has to thank God for. And when we stop and think about it, we have an awful lot more to be thankful for than we often do or think. We focus on what we don't have or what's wrong or what we need or what isn't going well. We need to start focusing on who God is and what He has done and what He is doing and what He has given and the goodness and the grace of God. He refers to Him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us as His children, as His sons and daughters. I am who He says I am. I am a child of God, and so are you. If you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, He is your Heavenly Father. You are His sons and daughters, and He is good. He cares for us. He provides for us just as a loving father should for his children. And Paul is reflecting on his personal relationship with Christ. Just think about this, folks, for a minute. Think about this. Because of Christ, because we have a loving Heavenly Father, because we can have a relationship with Him through Jesus, just think, we get to know God. We get to know God, the creator of the universe and the sustainer of all things. We get to know Him. We get to follow Jesus, to have a close walk, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The one who loved me so much, He was willing to give His life and die the cruel death of crucifixion on the cross for me. We get to be loved by God and to love Him back. We get to do that. To be loved by God. We get to love Him back. We get to serve God. It's not a drudgery. It's not an obligation. It's not, oh, do I have to? There goes the preacher again telling me I should do something for Jesus. We get to serve God. We get to live for the giver of all good gifts. We get to do that. It's a joy. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It just doesn't get any gooder than that. For those of you who are new, I just like to say gooder. It's not because I flunked English class. Paul's thankful for his people. And he's thankful for what God is doing in their, you know, in their lives. I get excited when I see what God is doing in your lives. You know that? I get excited about that. To see what God is doing in your lives. You go on and he says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Wow. He's thankful for their faith. Do you know that good news gets around? It does. Good news gets around. You think about the fact that when Paul was writing this, he was sitting in a Roman prison. He was in captivity. He was a prisoner. He had been arrested for his faith. In a Roman prisoner, excuse me, a Roman prison, I don't think the food was very good, and they didn't get very many channels on the television. A Roman prison was a very horrible place to be. But yet, this is the heart of Paul while he's sitting in prison. He's not lamenting over where he was. He's thinking about his people. He's praying for them. He's thankful. And while he's sitting in this Roman prison, news had come to him. He says, I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The good news of their faith got to Paul in that dungeon, in that Roman prison cell. You know, when people see you, they know you, they will know if you are a person of faith or not. They will know, it should become evident to them if you are living a life of trust in God. You know, we live in a world of social media and reviews. I never imagined how many reviews are out there. How many of you ever checked out reviews online? There's reviews for everything. You name it, there's reviews. I'm a book fanatic. And I've even now gone into, when I'm looking at Amazon, I'll start reading some of the reviews to see it's, whether it's a book I want to get or not. There's books to businesses, hotels to handymen, airlines to auto dealers. There's reviews on everything. It's amazing. Did you know that your life is a living review of Jesus before others? People read reviews about all kinds of stuff to see whether they want to go to that doctor or that car dealer. They want to buy that item. They want to stay at that hotel. They're looking at what everybody has to say about that business or that thing. You are a living review. People want to know what it is like, what it means to follow Jesus, to give their life to Christ. They're looking at you, because you're a living review of Jesus. I wonder if people are reading your life, reading your review of Jesus, or would you recommend him to others? Are you living by faith? A life of complete trust in a good and a loving God who cares about you? Can people see your faith and that it makes a real difference in your life? That when people see you, they hear you, they get to know you, they read your living review, they say, I want to know that Jesus. Or they say, well, it doesn't seem like he's evident in their life. Doesn't seem like he's done anything for them. Not interested. Have people heard about your faith and what Christ has done in your life? One of my heroes is a member of the church that I pastored back some years ago near Savannah, Georgia. One of the first people that I want to look up in heaven is a lady named Miss Geraldine Jones. This lady was a true saint of God. She was incredible. She had a joy about her. She had a peace in her life. She could pray like nobody else in the church could pray. She didn't have much in this world. She lived a very meager, simple life. But when you got to know Miss Geraldine, you got to know Jesus. And she led an awful lot of folks to the Lord. She was a prayer warrior. She was a servant. She was willing to do anything and everything that needed to be done for the cause of Christ. She had a financial crisis one time and needed some help, and the church was able to help her a little bit. About 2 weeks after we helped her, there was a check in the offering. The treasurer told me she had tithed on the benevolence that the church gave her. And within a few months, and even though the church said, you don't have to pay this back, we just want to bless you, God had blessed her, and she paid it all back and more. That's the kind of heart and faith Sister Geraldine had. But she was a prayer warrior. I loved to have her pray for me. She loved to pray for her pastor. And she was a pretty big lady. And I remember one Sunday after service at the altar, and I was sitting right on that side of the church in the front pew. I was sitting there, and I was concerned about some things. My heart was heavy, and she just came over to love on me and pray for me. And she sat next to me, and Linda and Jason remember Miss Geraldine, and they're kind of smiling up here. But Sister Geraldine came, sat next to me, and said, Pastor, I want to pray for you. And she put her arm on the back of the pew behind me, and she began to pray and get a hold of God. And after a while, her arm came down onto my shoulder, and she started to really get fervent in prayer and get a hold of God. And that arm came around and started to hook around my neck. And I'll tell you what, the harder she prayed, the harder she squeezed. And she just started squeezing harder and harder. And I got to a point where I was almost suffocating. And I finally had to stop her and pray. I said, Miss Geraldine, I can't breathe. Sadly, one day, we got a phone call. I rushed over to where she lived. A relative of hers had stopped by her house, went in the house, and found her dead in her bed. Jesus had taken her home. Unexpectedly one night, she was a great loss to us personally and to our church, and I look forward to seeing Miss Geraldine again. She had a true walk of faith. She had a testimony like few have before other people. She was a true follower of Jesus. She was an example for others to follow. Is that the kind of person you are? Does everything in your life point back to Jesus? When people see you, are they directed to Him? How would others who know you, how would they review your life of faith? Paul's thankful for their faith. He's also thankful for their love. The Colossian church was a church full of people who loved others. They loved each other and they loved the people around them. They were truly a church because a church is a family, is a body, is a team, is a group of people who is expressing the love of Jesus. Jesus said, this is the way that they will know that you are my disciples, by the way you love others. They cared for each other. They reached out to those who are in need. Friends, if we do one thing well here at Gateway, one thing well, it should be loving others. Should be loving others. It's more important than what kind of worship we have. It's more important than our facilities or our programs or our ministries or our preaching or our activities and our events. It's even more important than how Pentecostal we are. And it's even more important than miracles or healings or anything else that takes place. I think Paul would agree with that. In 1 Corinthians the last verse of chapter 12 and the first verses of chapter 13, he says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." The one thing that we should always be known for is our love. Our love for one another, for everyone. He's thankful for their faith, for their love, and he's also thankful for the hope in their hearts. Christ gives us hope. I love that song we sang, "Jesus Christ, my living hope." Is he your hope? Do you have hope in Christ? No matter what, do you have hope in Christ? Have you put your hope in Christ? We can trust God. We can live by faith. We can express love to others because the hope of Christ that is alive in our hearts. It's a living hope. It's a hope that's alive. It's real. It's expressed. It's demonstrated. It can be seen. It should be obvious. It's a real hope, a living hope, a hope that makes us different. Their hope and our hope is stored up in heaven. And nobody and no thing can steal that away. When your hope is in heaven, nobody can take that from you. It was stored up in heaven because they knew God's word is true. They knew his word is true. The promise of eternal life gave a different perspective of life here on earth. I want you to get a hold of that. When you have hope that's stored up in heaven, and you have the promise of eternal life, that you know where you're going, you know where this is all headed, you know how it ends. I read the end of the book and I know the end of the story. When you know, when you have that hope, it gives you a different perspective on this life here on earth right now. Their future was secure, so their present could be dedicated to living for Jesus and serving God with everything in them. I hope you got that. When your hope is secure, you can give your present to living for Jesus, to serving God, to giving everything to him. Because it's all secure. You see, too many Christians, hear me, too many Christians forget who they are and where they're going. So they have far too little effect on where they are now. I didn't hear any amens, but I'm going to keep preaching anyhow. Do you have hope for heaven? I got to try that again. Do you have hope for heaven? Well, you know what? That should give you a heart for earth. I want you to get this. If you have hope for heaven, it should give you a heart for earth. What I mean is a heart for people on this earth who don't know Jesus. It should give you a heart to make a difference in this world while we're on our way there. Just getting there isn't enough. It's what we're doing on the way there to make a difference in this world, to touch people's lives for Jesus with the gospel. And that leads me to the next thing that Paul is thankful for. In verse 6, he's thankful for the gospel. in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Colossians, he goes on. He says, all over the world. Somebody say, all over the world. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing. This gospel is a living thing, a powerful thing. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has, watch this, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Wow. So let's close with this. The gospel. You know what the gospel means, don't you? Good news. It's a message of good news about Jesus, about salvation, hope of heaven, new life in Christ. That's good news. Yeah, I'm going to do it again. It doesn't get any gooder than that good news. And guess what? We get, you remember that get? We get to? We get, are you ready for this? Seatbelts securely fastened? Tray tables in their upright position? We get to be messengers of the good news. We get to be messengers. We get to be witnesses to the grace of God. The goodness of God. We get to be witnesses to the truth of His Word. We get to be witnesses to new life in Christ. Wow, I'm getting tingles. Paul says, all over the world, this gospel is producing fruit in growing, just as it has been doing among you. Now there's the catch. There's the secret. All over the world doesn't mean much until it starts with you. You see, it goes from you to the world. Are you growing in Christ? Is the gospel, the good news, producing fruit in you? Is Gateway a church that's on the move? Or are we just satisfied to stay where we are? To keep things the way they are? Are we just satisfied with good enough? Or do we want more? More for Jesus. More of God. To do more for God. To reach more for Jesus. God's intention is that what He's doing in you, what He's doing here, should spread. It should grow. It should produce fruit. It should be contagious. The gospel is contagious. Because it's way too good to keep to yourself. What are you doing with the gospel? What are you doing with the good news? What are you doing with what Christ has done for you? All over the world, think of it. We get. Yeah, I'm stuck in a we get thing this morning. We get. I hope you get it. We get to be part of what God is doing. What's our mission slogan? Across the street and around the world. We get to be a part of what God is doing. All over the world. We get to be a part of something that's a lot bigger than we are. First in us, then in others, then across the street, and then around the world. But friends, it has to start with you. It has to start with you. Are you being a faithful servant, a minister of Christ Jesus? Pastor Paul was thankful for his people, the church under his care. He was thankful for what God was doing in their lives. He was thankful for their faith, for their love. He was thankful for their hope of heaven that gave them a heart for earth to make a difference in people's lives and how they lived here and now. He was thankful for the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that the people were sharing with those, with the world around us, that they were growing and producing fruit for Christ. He was thankful that they weren't staying the same, that they were moving ahead for Jesus until the whole world knows. And we cannot settle for anything less. Pastor Paul, he loved his people. He cared about his people. He wanted the very best for them. He wanted the church to fulfill its calling, to do God's will. He wanted the people to grow and share the good news, to be part of what God could do in and through them. And as your pastor, I'm not Pastor Paul. Never will be. Would never try to be. I'm just Pastor Jerry, but I can have the same heart, the same desires for you as Pastor Paul did for his people. I can feel the same way about you that he felt for them. And I love and care for you, and I want you to keep growing in Christ, and I want this church to be on the move, to become all that God intended for us to be. It's not past, it's present and future. It's not over, it's just getting started again. Pastor Paul prayed for his people, and I pray for you too. So I give my invitation at the conclusion of this message. And I ask you to consider a few questions today. How's your faith? How would others who see you kind of review would they give your faith? Kind of review would they give Jesus by seeing you? Are you showing the love of Christ? Are you living with a hope of heaven that gives you a heart for those who need Jesus? Do you want a church that's on the move? Do you want us to make a difference, the gospel of Christ? Are you willing to let God do what He wants to do in you? Stu's going to put on a song. My message concludes, but the altar begins. The work of the Holy Spirit continues. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart as He has spoken to mine. I just ask you to consider where you are in all of this and your answers to these questions. Do you need to come before the Lord and ask Him to have His way, to do His work in you? So Stu put on this song, and I want to open these altars, and I want to invite you to come. Those of you who are going to join us with the newcomers orientation, we'll be doing that in the fellowship hall as soon as our altar time is concluded. But I want you to just take advantage of the opportunity to come, find a place along the front pews, spend some time with Jesus, and allow Him to do His work in you and in Gateway. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. To open my eyes.
I see that you're shaping my
presence. Thank you for your spirit among us today, God. Thank you for the opportunity to worship and to be to fellowship together with one another, to love on one another, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for each other. And God, we just want all that you have for us, Lord. We want you to move us to where you want us to be, individually and as a body. Have your way. Bless your people, I pray, Lord. Lord, just pour out your grace and your mercy and your love upon each and every one. Be with us in a real and a powerful way. Lord, let us be living reviews, living testimonies before others of your love and your grace and all that you're doing in our lives. Let us reflect you and point people to Jesus and share that good news. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Have an awesome day in Jesus. You can put